We've been in a series called Made New, right? Identity, grace, and the fight for freedom. And we've been teaching through the book of Ephesians. And so it is a story that God's been writing to us. It really is. And it's such a great recovery story. But I'm going to take a moment. I want to recap because I know some of you haven't been here because of the wicked softball and baseball that's been going on in the community. So I want to back up just a little bit. In week one, we declared the truth. You were chosen and called, not by accident. And not as a backup plan, right? Before the brokenness, before the wreckage. And I encourage you, if you missed any of these, go back, listen to them, like and share them. Week two, we talked about walking out of the grave. We're dead in sin, but God made us alive through his grace, right? Not through our effort. And that's such a beautiful thing because there's hope even in all of our brokenness. In week three, we tore down the lie that we don't belong because Jesus didn't just tear the curtain. He tore down the wall, right? So that we could have community with God the Creator, with our risen Savior, and with people, right? Unity among his children. And we talked about last week, we were reminded that real strength isn't external, it's internal, right? And it comes from the Holy Spirit working through us, right, to accomplish God's plan and God's purpose. Freedom doesn't come from willpower, it comes from spirit power, right? And just what God can accomplish. And it's such a beautiful thing. And so that's where we've been, right? And what I laid out was this, the book of Ephesians is kind of divided into two parts. And the whole first section, the first three chapters, which is what we've gone through, really deals with doctrine, right? And this theology kind of lays the groundwork. And the next three chapters, which is 4, 5, and 6, are going to deal with application. And so that's kind of where we're at right now. And so what now? What do you do after you've been chosen, rescued, empowered, and welcomed in? Because that's really where we're at, right? Is what comes next? And I think that's a question that really just nags at the back of a lot of our minds because we're sold something in today's culture as far as the church goes, right? There's a reason you came here. There's a reason you started coming here and started showing up, right? And eventually you kind of get to this place, or at least most of us do, where we got what somebody said we should get, but then we're just kind of like, what's next, right? And usually it's like we've been invited in, we've raised the hand, and then it's kind of like, I don't know what next step to take. And so that's where we're at. What do we do now? Well, the thing is, you live like it. Live like what? Like you've been chosen, rescued, empowered, and welcome in. Paul talks about this somewhere else, that we should be living epistles. And what that means is that we should live our lives in a way that those who don't know God will come to know God. That means the way that we treat our wives or treat our husbands or treat our children or work our 9-to-5 job that we hate and really want to strangle our boss. Those things should reveal Jesus to people, right? And reveal the love of God, that we should have the same attitude and mindset of Christ, right? And when we're walking out this chosen, rescued, empowered, welcome in kind of life, that's exactly what it'll do, right? It'll begin to reveal God to people, right? So we have to live like it. Live like we've been touched by the risen Savior. Because here's the reality. God didn't save you to leave you stuck. God didn't save you to leave you where you're at. That's so important. So important that God actually wants a better marriage for you. God, he wants a better work environment for you. He wants a better relationship with you and your kids. That those are things, that's the wealth of the kingdom that God wants to pour out on you, right? For these things to be better in your life. Not for you to white knuckle your way through the next 24, 36, 48 hours, right? Or the rest of your life. Because here's the reality. Again, God didn't save you to leave you stuck. He didn't pull you out of the pit so you could keep dressing like you still live there. Some of you guys got old clothes on, right? Some of you guys, man, are still dragging this old life with you. And the truth of the matter is that we've been made new and we've been called to live a new life, to set those things down. And that's the title of tonight's message, right? Living the new life. That once these things have taken place, right? Once we've encountered God and he's transformed us and he's sealed us with his Holy Spirit, as Paul talked about in Ephesians, that we start living the new life. And here's the thing. Here's the thing we get stuck on. It requires work. And we don't like that, right? Because God's supposed to do all the work. I'm just supposed to sit here and receive, and I'm supposed to keep the seat out there warm for 68 minutes while Pastor Aaron talks, but that's not the thing, right? We're supposed to work and live and be actionable in our lives and engage. We're supposed to live like it. And we're ahead of denied in Ephesians 4. We're going to be in 17 and 32. A brutal but beautiful call to stop living like we used to. I'm going to tell you this right now. Paul is cutthroat in the second part of Ephesians 4. And he calls out all the things that make me uncomfortable, going to make you uncomfortable too. But the truth of the matter is, once we've engaged with God, we have to be stirred up to action. We have to walk out our faith. We have to work it out, right? That our faith, according to James, should actually have works, right? Our works don't save us, but it should be worked out in our lives. And Paul says that we take it off, the old life, and we put on this new life, these new clothes that he's called us to live in. Take off the old you, the anger, the addiction, the lies, the lust, the self-hatred, and put on the new you, the one Jesus died to make possible. The problem is so many of us still wear the old clothes, right? The lies, the lust, man, the hatred, all of that, the loathing, the laziness, that we want to dress around and be dressed up in that and come to church and try to be engaged in the life that God's called us to. And he's just got this question like, why the heck you dress like that? That's not what I died to give you. Like, I've gotten you a new wardrobe. Put it on, wear it, and move forward. And there comes a moment in every journey where you realize something big. Freedom isn't about walking away from addiction or sin or brokenness. It's about walking into the life that Jesus died to give you. It's not about not doing something. And that's hard, right? Because when you're in brokenness, that becomes the focus. I remember in my addiction, the big focus was just not getting messed up anymore. That was not the end game. The end game was being awakened to the truth and the thing that God called me to stop being lazy and to be fully engaged in the life. That's what it was about. That was what it was for. Not to stop doing something, but to start doing something and to start living for someone. In Ephesians 4, Paul tells us to stop doing, doesn't tell us to stop doing bad things. He calls us to start living differently, right? It's not a checkbox. It's not a list of rules and regulations. It's not about what you're not supposed to do. It's about what you're supposed to do. The ways you're supposed to serve, right? The ways that when you hear our baby pastor get up here and say, I have a need, and you're out there and you don't serve anywhere, that if you've been impacted by Christ, you say, that's me. I'm free on Sunday morning. I'm going to get my butt over there to preschool ministry, and I'm going to love on some babies because I've been saved. And it's not about what I'm not going to do. It's about what I'm going to do. And I'm going to meet a need in the church because God's touched my life and he's changed me. Yeah? Amen. Paul doesn't tell us to stop doing bad things. He calls us to start living different. Servant mindset, servant heart, to love, to forgive, to be merciful, again, to be living epistles and live our lives in a way that reveals Christ to those around us. To start living differently. This isn't behavior modification. It's transformation. It's not subtraction, it's substitution. Take off the old, put on the new. Take off the old. It's dead. We're done with it. To live a resurrected life. To live a new life. To live, again, in a way that reveals God to those around us. And so tonight, we're going to be in Ephesians 4. And so I want you to open up your Bibles there, Ephesians chapter 4. If you don't have a Bible, we've provided notes up here for you. We also have notes on the YouVersion Bible app, so you can engage with that as well. And so just a reminder, again, we're going to be hitting application pretty hard tonight, but we have the YouVersion Bible notes, and we have your devotional. We gave you a paper copy as you came in, and we also have that digital copy for you. So Ephesians 4, Even though I'm going to be teaching from verse 17, I'm going to give a breakdown and a summary of what the first 16 verses were. So Paul begins by urging us to live a life worthy of our calling. And you may be like, well, I'm not called to anything. Well, that's a lie. Every person's a minister, right? That we all have been called to actually minister and to carry out the work of the church. And you should live a life worthy of that calling. And that calling was paid for by the blood of Jesus. And so that's the thing that should excite us and awaken us to do things differently, live a life worthy of our calling, to actually walk out what we say we believe. And that's hard, right? Because we want to say Jesus is Lord, but we want to watch what we want to watch on Netflix, right? And we want to chill with those who aren't our spouses, right? And here's the thing. God says, no. Live a life worthy of your calling. Live like you believe what you say you believe. That means living with humility, gentleness, patience, and commitment to unity. We're not meant to do life or faith alone. So Paul talks about that. Even though we're different, we're called to be one body, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God who is over all. This kind of ties into the other week, right? This unity, these walls are down. We can journey together. That actually, here's the truth, we should have more in common with people halfway around the world who are believers than we have in common with people in our family who aren't believers. That's a hard pill to swallow, right? Because you're like, no, blood's thicker. No. The blood of Jesus is thicker, right? We should have more in common with those halfway around the world that call themselves believers and people in our own backyard who don't have anything to do with Christ. And if that's not you, there's a problem here. And we're called to unity in this. We're called, again, to unity. But unity doesn't mean uniformity. Jesus gave us each spiritual gifts to serve others and build up his church. And that's a great thing, because what that means is we don't have to look like each other, right? And isn't that good? Could you imagine like 12 of me running around this church? Man, there'd be too much. Nobody wants that. We would kill this thing, right? It's okay to laugh and be in agreement, right? I barely want to live with me, right? And so here's the thing. We have different callings and giftings and purposes, and that's a good thing, right? So unity doesn't mean uniformity. Paul talks about that. We have spiritual gifts to serve others and build up the church. To serve who? To serve our self-interest? To serve our bank accounts? To serve our legacy? No. To serve who? Others. We should have an other-mindedness about us. Again, as we've been impacted and we're living this new life, that we should have this outward expression of God's love. So again, I want to go back. Where are you serving? Where are you putting your time? How is that being expressed in your life? Because if you're a spectator who only shows up and you're not engaged in the ministry around here, I would call that into question in your life. Are you living a life that Paul lays out in Ephesians that believers should be living? And so these spiritual gifts, some are called to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, not to do all the ministry, but to equip God's people to do it. And that's so important. And our current model of church in America says that the pastor should do it all, and I should sit here and receive. And that's not the case, right? We're all ministers. We're all supposed to be doing these things. And that goes back to what Stacy said. You don't need to know all the Bible. You just need to be able to love on somebody, right? Love can cast out all fear, and it can accomplish way more than the simple-minded words can, right? So we need to be engaged and realize that we're all called to do something. And the goal? Maturity. Say that, maturity. The goal should be maturity. And here's the problem. Sometimes we end up with 1 year, 5 year, 10 year, 15 year, 20 year Christians living year one on repeat. Not growing. Still cherry picking, not serving, still spectating. And God has called us to maturity. You should know more about God this year than you did last year. You should be more engaged in God's kingdom this year than you were last year, right? You should be living a life that's growing, right? And Paul says, hey, we can't be infants forever. Eventually, we gotta get some meat and potatoes, right? I mean, imagine if you were a 30 or 40 or 50-year-old individual in here and you're still having formula. All the nasty, man, what you'd be missing out on. But that's our spiritual walk for some of us. That's what we do. You're being bottle fed. And man, you're getting ready to be on Medicaid and you're still suckling at the bottle. And it's like, come on now, let's get engaged in the things of God and let's mature and let's grow. The goal, maturity. So we won't be tossed around by every lie, or trend or false teaching. Instead, we grow up. We speak the truth in love, and the whole body, every person, every gift works together so that the church grows strong and healthy in love. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Can you guys tell for 4 weeks I haven't been allowed to attack you guys? And it's all just coming out right now. This is my wife's fault for making me be gentle for weeks. And so, but that's where we're at. That's what Paul lays out. And then in verse 17, he says this, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as Gentiles do. Who are Gentiles? Gentiles are those written here that are not the children of God. They weren't the Hebrews, right? And you're like, well, I'm not a Hebrew. No. But you're not a Gentile either. When we come to know the Lord, we're children of God, right? Because we're new covenant. And so now, even though Paul wrote this to other people, he was writing it to the Ephesians who were Gentiles. And he's saying, don't live like that anymore. You've been adopted into God's family. We talked about that in week one, right? That we've been brought in. And he's saying, no longer live as Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. And so as believers, as members of God's body, right, as we've been activated, engaged, and called and chosen, we got to start living like we're children of God. And our lives should look different than the lives of those outside of the church. We should say things that don't line up with the things that they say. We should watch things that are different. We should raise our kids differently. We should love our spouse differently. We should live no longer as the Gentiles do, because they are hopelessly confused. And some of us are trying to walk in freedom, and we're dragging around these chains, this old life, and we're trying to live like Gentiles Monday through Saturday, but Sunday, right? We're gonna live like God's people, and then we're gonna step back into it. And we're doing this back and forth. And Paul's saying, no, this is 7 days a week, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. No longer live like Gentiles do. That the walk that you're called to, the Christian faith, is about far more than 68 minutes a week as you sit in service. That we're called to live differently. And some of us try to walk in freedom while dragging around the chains we've already been set free from. That's not your life anymore. You don't have to live that way anymore. And Paul isn't suggesting we stop living like the world. He's commanding it with the Lord's authority. And that's important. It's not a suggestion. Paul was inspired by the Holy Spirit to deliver this message for those who would call themselves sons of God. And it's a command, not a suggestion, to live differently with the Lord's authority. Why? Because living like you used to when you didn't know Jesus doesn't make any sense when you meet him. That this faith should produce works in us, right? That we should be on all of the things that God's done for us. And when you've met the one who made you new, it should encourage you to be done with everything and to just be in this place of humility and say, God, man, I know. And that's me. I know where I came from. I know what God set me free from. And in view of that, I have no choice but to try to live the way he's called me to live, right? And that's what Paul's saying for each of us, to have this recognition, trying to follow Jesus while still dressed in your old life. It's like wearing clothes that don't fit anymore. Tight, awkward, painful, and unnecessary. You were never meant to shrink back into what God called you out of. And he goes on and he says this, their minds, two minds, the Gentiles, their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life that God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasures, and they eagerly practice every kind of impurity. That's the world out there. That was the world then, that's the world now. People who live to satisfy their desires rather than realizing that we're here to bring honor and glory to a holy God who has set us free from that. Live no longer like the Gentiles do. They are hopelessly confused. And living the new life requires that we recognize you can't walk in freedom while wearing the old life. Can't walk in freedom while wearing the old life. When I was preparing for this, I was looking for a story. I wanted it to be fun, and I've got a lot of kids. You guys know that, you know, a litter. You might call it a litter of children, and so I have my litter of kids. And my kids are no different than most people's kids, except mine are probably more verbally abused than your kids are. Don't call DHS. Somebody didn't. They know not to speak to them anyways. So it'd be a waste of a phone call. Anyways, so my kids, like most people's kids, you know, when they get an outfit they liked, and you know what it always ended up being, the thing that they loved the most? The little one-piece, like, underoo thing, you know, or the Halloween costume that's, like, kind of like a jumper suit. You know, I don't know why kids love those, but kids love those, right? And here's the thing that I know. Like, you buy it for them, and it fit the 1 year, but they don't want to let it go, do they? So year two rolls around, right? And they're kind of like still like crunching into this, and they're coming out and they look like freaking Quasimodo off the Hunchback of Notre Dame. And it's like, I didn't know that that could go so far up your butt crack like that, right? Like, that's how we look wearing the old life, trying to serve Jesus today. He's like, what is wrong with you? I got you new clothes, man. Like, and my kids would try to go to school. They'd be like pajama day, and I'd be half asleep, not paying attention to what they're wearing, and they get out of the car, and I'm like, I'm so embarrassed as they're walking out to the school like this. And God's saying, stop that. You're my child, and I've provided better for you, and I've called you to more. Is that a good story? I like that story. You can't walk in freedom wearing the old life. You can't walk in freedom wearing the old life. You've been called to live differently, and you look ridiculous when you try to do it. You do. We do. Huh? Yeah, I'm not doing it again. It's on camera. It's recorded. That forever will live on the internet. Go share that message just for that. I expect 100 shares on this message just so people can see me walk ridiculous and hear the word of God. You've been made new, so stop dressing like the old you. Freedom isn't about what you leave behind. It's about who you become in Christ. We should be dressed to the nines for him. We should. To say what the new kids say, that fit is drip. Is that right? Did I get that right? They're asleep. They don't even know. Man, you guys should be paying attention. This is good stuff here. You can't walk in freedom while wearing the old life. We live in a culture that says, just be true to yourself. But what if yourself is still stuck? Be true to the risen Savior. Be true to God and who he's called us to be. You can't keep an old mindset and expect a new result. Romans 12:2 says, don't copy the behaviors and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. That's putting on the new clothes, the new life. What are you still wearing? I want you to reflect on this. And this is the point. What are you still wearing in your life that doesn't belong to the new you? The anger, shame, the lust, the addiction. He's called you out of those things. Now, what are you holding on to? Self-hatred? Pride? What is it? What are you holding on to that's old clothes that doesn't belong to the new you? Before tonight ends, at the end of this, you're thinking about that. You're going to have a moment to confess that mindset, that habit that you're still clinging to. And I want to encourage you to surrender it to God. You can't be made new and stay stuck. That version of you is gone. So why are we still dressing like them? I can't dress like the old Aaron today. You can't dress like the old you. You shouldn't. God's not asking you to clean yourself up. He's asking you to take it off. The bitterness, the rage, the shame, the mask. And tonight ask him, what am I still wearing that doesn't belong in this life? It's time to put on something that actually fits who you are now. It's time, again, to take off the old you, put on the new clothes he's given you. Verse 20, he says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off. Say that, throw off. Throw off. So this is intentional, aggressive language, like getting undressed at the honeymoon night, right? Kind of throw off, right? Throw off the old clothes. Like it's, man, we gotta be intentional and aggressive about getting rid of what God's called us out of. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, say that instead. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. I want to be real. Too many of us are wanting healing without honesty, right? We want the easy way out, right? The easy button. You remember the Staples commercial, right? That's what we want God for. God, let's take care of it. No. He's calling us to action, right? He's done the work. He did the heavy lifting. He saved you. He called you. He made you your own. He sealed you with his Holy Spirit. Now he's telling you, throw off that old sinful nature. Take it off. Be done with it. Throw off the old sinful nature. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. We want breakthrough without breaking down. But Paul doesn't give us an option here. He says, throw it off. Throw it off. And the mask, the addiction, the double life, the hidden wound, it doesn't get to stay. We can't keep it with us. It's old clothes. And it messes up what God's trying to do today. And we have to address it. We have to recognize that it's there. Stop pretending that it's not. Whatever it is, be honest with God. He already knows. He already knows. Bring it to him. Bring it to the foot of the cross. And here's the key. Healing doesn't just come from laying things down. It comes when the Holy Spirit starts changing the way you think. Because you can't change your life until you let God change your mind. You have to recognize that these things have no place in this new life. And if you want to cherry pick and you want to make excuses for holding on to things, I'm telling you right now, the enemy will give you every doorway to walk through to justify that. He will. I did it for years. Well, I can be a Christian and do all of these things. No, you can't. Paul's clear. Throw it off. Be done with it. Be done with it. You can't change your life until you let God change your mind. Living the new life requires that we recognize healing requires both removal and renewal. People want healing again without honesty. We post progress but hide the process, but you can't be healed from what you're pretending isn't there or from what you justify, make excuses for, right? You can't be healed from those things. We have to recognize it and accept it for what it is. Sin is sin. It was then, it is today. And healing requires both removal and renewal. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. Old life is gone, new life has begun, right? Remove the old, be in that renewal, that resurrection. And you've heard the truth. You know who Jesus is. So now it's time to stop pretending you're fine. Start surrendering what's still broken. You know, the thing I love about our church, and especially what I love about Mondays, is I've never felt the need to pretend like I'm not screwed up. And if I can get up here and I share all sorts of brokenness with you guys, that's the culture here, that we can come to each other and say, I fall short here. Right, and expose it. Will you pray with me, right? Can we take this to God together? That's what God's given us here. And so many of us, myself included, for so long, did not utilize the gift that we have here at Cedar Point, a gift of a community of believers who is not just here to see through you, right, but to see you through and to journey with you. We've got to take advantage of it. Pray with each other, be honest, and let God deal with it. Throw it off. The bitterness, pride, the secret sin, stop making excuses for it and let it die. And when you do, don't stop there. Ask the Spirit to go deeper, not just to clean the surface, but to rewire what drives you. Completely new, completely different person. I'm not a different version of me from 10 years ago. And there's some of you in this room that knew me 10 years ago, and you would agree, I'm a different person. I'm a different person. That's what it takes. That's what we're called to. Old is dead. New life has begun. Tonight, ask him this. God, what needs to go and what needs to grow in me? That's where healing starts. In verse 24, he says this, put on. Say that, put on. He doesn't want us walking around naked out there. Praise God, right? Take off the old clothes and do what? Put on. Put on. Throw it off. Put it on. Put on the new nature, your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. What a beautiful thing. And he's asked us to clothe ourselves in his righteousness, this new nature. This new nature created to be like God. You know, it's interesting, right? Our kids, what they look like us. They act like us. They sound like us. And I know many of you know this. Not all my kids are biological. But if you didn't know that, you would be hard-pressed to know the difference. Why? My kids look like me, and that's weird, right? Even the ones that aren't biological, there are things that they resemble me, and they dang sure act like me, right? Because they've spent time with me. And that's what God wants, man, is we spend time with him, and we throw off this old nature, we put on this new nature, created to be like God, where we look like him. Like I said, Paul says we should be living epistles, live our lives in a way that those who don't know God will come to know him because we look so much like him, even though we've been adopted into his family. Even though, man, we were trash, but man, he resurrected us. Put on this new nature, created to be like God. Created to be like God, righteous and holy. And we live in a culture obsessed with glow up, the external, man, get it clean, this makeover, the highlight reel, the image upgrade, but God's not interested in a prettier version of you. He's not. He's calling you to put on someone completely new. Paul says, put on your new nature. And that's not a suggestion. Here's the thing too, and this is where we miss. This is what I missed for so long. I raise my hand and I ask God to deal with all this crap. But he says, who puts it on? He says, sit there like a toddler and God's gonna come dress you and like fight to get your legs in both pants legs. No, you do it. You put on your nature. God did the work. It's time you start living like he did it. And you throw off the old nature. You put on the new nature. That's personal responsibility. That's your responsibility. Put on the new nature, created to be like God. Truly, truly righteous and holy. And so Paul says, put on the new nature. Not a suggestion, it's your responsibility. You've been remade in Christ. Now it's time to live like it on purpose every single day. We don't get days off every day. We don't get to take summer breaks from our walk of faith. We don't do that. This is 365, new nature every day. Take up our cross daily. Living the new life requires we recognize that we put on the new you every day, every day. And God's so good. Not only does he tell us to put on the new nature, he lays it out for us. And Paul continues in verse 25, so stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting your anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you're still angry, for anger gives a foothold to the devil. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Instead, use your hands for good hard work and give generously to others in need. Don't use foul or abusive language. Let everything you say be good and helpful so that your words will be an encouragement to those who hear them. And do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live. Remember, he's identified you as his own, guaranteeing that you will be saved on the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words, and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Instead, be kind to each other, tender-hearted, forgiving one another just as God through Christ Jesus has forgiven you. We put off the old nature, we put on the new nature, created to be like God, and we start dealing with the brokenness. Not on our own. He's given us his Holy Spirit that seals us, promises us that we're his, empowers us to begin to deal with these things so that we can be image bearers. Paul says in Galatians 5:16, so let the Holy Spirit guide your lives. Then you won't be doing what your sinful nature craves. That's how this is accomplished. We're guided and directed, not by our flesh, not by our desires. It's not dependent on our strength. It's the Holy Spirit, which he's given us. And we let that guide and direct our lives. It's not enough to take off the old. You've got to put on the new. Tell the truth, forgive, speak life, show mercy, not because it's easy, but because it's who you are now. Two of the hardest words for me to say, I'll be real honest with you here, is I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It's so hard. God doesn't tell me to do that because it's easy. When I have to look at those I love and say, I'm sorry, I failed you. It is one of the most difficult things for me to do. And you may be like, that's super easy. I'm just telling you, for me, whatever reason, it's hard. I don't do it because it's easy. I do it because that's what he's called me to. Sometimes I have a hard time being compassionate. I may surprise some of you here. Empathy, it's not at the top of my list. I work on it. And I work on it. I have to work on it because it's just not there. Not because it's easy. Stacy's shaking her head. She works with me. She's like, this guy's a butthole. She's not because it's easy. Because it's what he's called me to. We're not called to live the easy life. We're called to live the godly life. To put in the work, take responsibility, and do what needs to be done. And here's the reality. You don't drift into holiness, but you dress for it. So tomorrow morning, and every morning after, wake up and declare, today I'm putting on who I am in Christ. Today I'm putting it on. Because the new you is already waiting. You just have to choose to wear it. I want us to do this. I want you to bow your head, close your eyes. We got a baby getting restless here. I got to wrap this up. Let's be honest. Some of us have been resurrected, but we're still wearing what we died in. We've been made new in Christ, but we keep putting on what's familiar. Bitterness that poisons our relationships. Shame that silences our identity. Lies we tell ourselves so we don't have to face the truth. Sin we tolerate because we're afraid of what life looks like without it.